Time to say hey to Dr. Mark Welch, Grain Marketing Specialist, Texas A&M College Station. Where are you at today, Mark?
Good morning, Todd. Calling from College Station, Texas this morning. So back on home stomping grounds today.
Well, we've had some rain this week, so things are looking up around here after months and months of nothing but blowing dust and wind.
Boy, you bet. So good to hear of those significant levels of rain that have come through, and it takes a while to catch up to kind of where you ought to be and where you need to be, but nice to know it can still do it, and so hopefully a pattern will emerge that's a little more friendly this late spring and move into summer compared to where you guys have been all winter long, and so hopefully that about something even just close to normal will return rather than what you guys have been experiencing for the months and months and months.
Well, next Monday it's going to be 100 degrees, so better get all the rain we can get between now and then.
Ouch, right. Well, that if there was any wheat to cut, that sounds like wheat cutting weather. You need those 100 degree days to dry it down, get out in the field early and run late at night. But I'm guessing there's probably not a whole lot of wheat cutting to be done on that side of the panhandle, again, so great to get some rain, now, and hopefully it'll help some spring planted crops and boost them. Irrigation becomes more efficient and more effective when the weather's a little more friendly. But certainly there's a line if you look at the precipitation amounts this late winter and as we're moving into spring, that once you kind of get off out of the panhandle and off the cap, things have picked up considerably, and there'll be some wheat, being cut, and some pretty good wheat. Obviously, we're going to have a shorter crop this year, but they're certainly seeing the price of this last couple of weeks of wheat and corn, beans even, to maybe not as falling off as hard as the other grains, but certainly the market's certainly not looking more friendly as we're getting ready for the combines are running and the corn crop taking off.
I heard a rumor the custom harvesters are just running the combines through the field with no header on it just to get a little exercise.
There you go. Just to, just run the machine, keep it everything slicked up and running. Hopefully it's not that bad, but there's going to be some time to get not going to be running that grain buggy, maybe as hot and heavy. As you would be under maybe some better conditions, but there's going to be some decent wheat cut, and again the combine tells the real story. If you look at crop condition ratings at the market, I think it's still paying attention to on the winter wheat crop that the condition ratings have fallen off considerably and are very, very low. You go back to about a year like 2014 to find a year that you have crop ratings about like they look like this year. The average yield for the U.S. winter wheat crop in 2014 was 42.6 bushels per acre. An average winter wheat crop today ought to be in the low 50s. So that was the ratings then. USDA, their first estimate for 2026, they're looking at about a 47.6 bushels. So it's just kind of that down in that 2014 ballpark. So certainly that's a significantly lower amount of winter wheat. Spring wheat. We're still just getting the crop planted. We're just about complete on planting that spring wheat crop. Got the first crop condition ratings for spring wheat came out this Monday. And, kind of not outstanding, but not just terrible either. Kind of about where they were last year with about 50% of the crop is good and excellent. So that's going to be another factor as we're wrapping up the winter wheat crop ratings and harvest moving forward. We've still got another significant level of wheat production that we're just now getting a handle on, just going in the ground and then watching those condition ratings for maybe some yield expectations around that spring wheat crop that'll be coming. So a couple of factors to still watch that, it's going to be a lower wheat crop this year, but we'll kind of see how it eventually all plays out. But again, the condition ratings for the winter wheat crop are kind of stabilizing. Not getting worse anyway, and then we'll see how the spring wheat crop does.
Well, the focus was at the Board of Trade on the weather yesterday and some liquidation going on. I kind of followed through on Project A overnight trade.
Right, we've just seen a lot of downward pressure on the grain markets now for the last couple of weeks, and much of it's still tied to the conflict with Iran. It seems that that if we're moving toward a settlement in that that conflict, and perhaps an increase of movement of cargo ships out of that region, that decreases concern and pressure on many markets, particularly on the energy markets as well as on the grain markets, and I think that's adding to the downward pressure on these commodity prices. If you look at just the fundamentals on the corn market itself, we've got the corn crop as of the end of May. We've got over 90% of the crop is in the ground, which is exactly where we ought to be. We're just right at average plantings this year. Everything went in. We kind of fell behind for a couple of weeks, just a little bit. But just going to wrap it up about right on time. The first crop ratings of the year, we've got just short of 70% of the crop has good and excellent condition early season, which is just a tad below what the normal rating would be, but again, still a really strong number. It's interesting talking about weather. We're hearing a lot of related to lots of stories of the emerging El Nino event that is forecast yet late in spring and really to become official this summer. And then moving into fall and early winter. And of course, we know in the Southern Plains, that's good for wheat production. And hearing much speculation of how favorable that is to corn production in the Corn Belt. The meteorologists that share with us at our Master Marketer programs, we've never gotten a report of that strong of a tie between El Nino and outstanding corn yields. An El Nino event in the U.S. is and this is what it's shared with us, is that it's really the significance or the probability of an impact is much greater in the winter months in the U.S. than it is in the summer months. It does have some influence, but there are actually areas of the Corn Belt that historically would be drier in an El Nino event. If you go on the eastern side of the Corn Belt, I'm thinking as you get into Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, those areas might actually be drier in an El Nino. So, there's a lot of speculation around this major weather story, and we'll see a lot of headlines about that as we move through. This forecast to be a relatively strong El Nino event. Since 2000, the strongest El Nino was back in the winter of 2015-2016. And in 2016 was also the record high winter wheat yield in the U.S. associated with that strong El Nino. So the current forecast of the one that's coming at this point is not forecast to be as strong as that one, but it is forecast to be the second strongest since that one. And that, of course, we hear about influence on hurricane season as well as crop production in places like India and Australia, where El Nino event tends to be negative for precipitation likelihoods as you get into areas of the southern hemisphere in the southern Asia region, and Southeast Asia, that it tends to they do better during La Nina years than they do El Ninos. So again, a lot of that playing out, but you bet. We're the corn focus. We got the crop of the ground now. We're going to turn to weather outlook. We're going to turn to those crop condition ratings that come out every week. But the next big report to watch is going to be the June 30th acreage report. With all the turmoil that happened at the 1st of March, did that shift planting decisions across major corn growing areas? Farmers in March said they were going to plant 95 million acres of corn, which is lower than last year, but still a really strong number. Did they stick with that? And we've seen some years when that June report comes out that we see a shift of acres of millions of acres up or down compared to what the farmers said they were going to plant back in March. So I think that's going to kind of be running in the background too as we get closer to that June 30th date. Watch for surveys, for a private forecast of what, you know, trading groups and commercial organizations, you know, what do their numbers show from their customers of what that acreage number reported that actually got planted or still yet to be planted will be on June the 30th. So that's another big one, that the next big one that really could influence where we head with these corn prices over the next few weeks.
December corn right now at 455. What are we going to look at for the trading range for June, you think?
Yeah, you know, this is a time of year that typically you would see continued price strength on that December contract if you just look at seasonal tendencies over time. Of course, the problem that we've got this year, we had such a strong run-up in March and April, and then even into the first half of May. We're trading back right now on that December contract back where we were back in the middle of February. So before all of this recent run-up and turmoil, you know, started and ran these prices up to over $5 on that December contract. But if you look at where we're trading right now, 450 corn on the December contract, that is a price that would be associated with a much tighter level of corn supply than what's projected today. If we're looking at planting that 95 million acres of corn and a yield of 183 plus, that's going to come up with an ending stock number at 2 billion bushels or maybe even a little higher. And it's awful hard to get corn over 450 a bushel when you've got a carryover of 2 billion bushels. We just haven't seen that in the last 20 years. So that's kind of what we're, if you look at fundamentally, these prices, even at 450 a bushel on the December contract, would still suggest a smaller supply than what the balance sheet's showing today. Again, we could get some surprises. We don't know what the yield's going to be. We do know what the acres are going to be. What will be the impact of, you know, higher fertilizer prices on production of grains around the world as we move further into this marketing year? Will that influence some export possibilities given export competition? All of that be uncertainty. But if you look at fundamentally, does it make sense that prices have kind of fallen where they are right now? It kind of does, given what 95 million acres and 183 bushels per acre, what kind of corn crop that would produce.
Well, export numbers last week were delayed because of the holiday last Monday, and we got numbers coming out here this morning. What are we looking at there?
Yeah, still wrapping up strong on the corn market. Of course, soybeans are way down compared to a year ago because of the reciprocal tariffs with China and disruptions of that market. So we're running well below year ago numbers on the soybean market. Wheat has been really strong. But what we saw last year was a significant level of cancellations of old crop wheat and shifting those purchases into the new crop year. So buying canceled the 25 crop and shifted those to sales for the 26 wheat crop that's just now coming in. Those new crop wheat export sales, as reported as of last week, they were up, but still well below kind of where they need to be. As we start the new marketing year, you know, you like to have a good level of sales already on the books as you move into the new year to reach your target. And that target for next year from USDA for all wheat is significantly lower than it was for the 25-26 wheat crop. So, yeah, it's going to be a smaller crop, but right now it looks like the export potential of that crop is going to be smaller too. So, again, that's adding some balance and some downward pressure on that wheat market.
I guess you made it back from Kansas City okay, huh?
Yeah, we did. Had a great trip up that way. Always good to get out and see the country and see how the crops are doing up that way. Generally speaking, from East Texas up through Central and Eastern Oklahoma and that western line of counties there in Missouri, things looked really good. Wheat ready to cut. Corn coming up, doing good. Soybeans just getting started. We'll get out. I got crop tours coming up down here the next couple of weeks. It'll be good to get out and get out in the field to see how our corn and sorghum crops are doing out down here. But at this point, again, in the part of the world that I've been running around in, looks like a really good production year.
From Last Buddy to College Station, Dr. Mark Welch with us today on Thursday. Good stuff, man. Give out your contact, and we'll do it again next week.
Look forward to that, Todd. Always good to be with you. I'd love to hear from you. Keep the conversation going. Best way to do that would be to shoot me an email, jmwelch@tamu.edu. Thank you much.